Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review. My name's Rob Medford. I'm the producer of the podcast. And in this week's episode, we talk to Carrie Hipsack, who is a CPA and holds her CGMA. She works for the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. And in this episode, we talk to her a little bit about an article she wrote called Emotional Intelligence. As always, we would like to thank you for listening to CPA Review and More. If you haven't already done so, please like and subscribe to the podcast and help us spread the word. Please share the content of our podcasts across your social platforms to help spread the great word of the content we provide. If there's anything you'd like to hear, particularly on the podcast, feel free to email us at podcast@yeagercpareview.com. That email address will be in the description of the podcast below. Don't forget to check out our new podcast page at yeagercpareview.com/podcast.cfm. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to know more about the CPA exam, check out Yeager CPA Review at cpareview.com, and don't forget to use promo code PODCAST to take advantage of 15% off your CPA review course material at checkout. Once again, thanks for listening to CPA Review and More. Without further ado, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Phil.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to the podcast CPA Review and More. I am your host, Dr. Phil Yeager. And I am the real Dr. Phil, and you can tell the difference because I have hair. Okay, just remember that.
So that's the joke that never gets old.
That never gets old, okay. Thank you, Rob. And with me is my associate producer, Rob Medford. Without Rob, this recording would not go on. And today, our special guest is Carrie Hipsack, who is a CPA, also holds the CGMA, and is with the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. And I noticed here, Carrie, you're originally from North Dakota, right?
Yes.
And what were you in public accounting there?
I actually started public accounting when I moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I got my undergrad from Augustana College, now Augustana University, and I started working for a firm there first.
And how did you end up in New York City?
Yeah, so I actually pilot tested CPE courses for the AICPA, obviously, before I worked for them. And I ended up having an invite to pilot test the CGMA exam in New York City. So I went to that live pilot test, and I ended up making a lot of great connections there. And before I knew it, I had job opportunities there. And as much as I love the Midwest, I figured I might as well get up and go for it while I was still young and didn't have any solid connections anywhere. I do actually live in North Carolina now, though. When my lease was up after I started with the AICPA, I decided to get out of the concrete jungle. It's a little overwhelming for me coming from North and South Dakota. So I'm glad I tried it, but it's not for me for the long run.
You're in Raleigh-Durham, aren't you? Is that where you are?
Yeah,
I heard that's a very nice up-and-coming area. There's the Research Triangle. Is that correct? So it's
gorgeous. Yeah, everything has a nice yellow sheen on it now for pollen season. So
good. That's good. So if your car is not yellow and you like the color yellow, just bring your car to North Carolina.
Exactly. Right? Get a little extra glitter going on.
Now, tell me this. What was the, since you mentioned the CGMA, first of all, what is the CGMA for, you know, those who do not know what that designation is? And why should someone go for it? You know, can you just the dress, sure. Exactly. Why would I want to go for a CGMA? I guess that's the question.
So when I sat for the exam and pilot tested it, it was primarily short answer and essay. And the thing that I really liked about the CGMA is that you were required, still are required actually, to have the underlying accounting fundamentals mastered, but also it allowed you an opportunity to really show your understanding of various, obviously, managerial accounting aspects and really write out your thought process. I don't know about everyone else, but when I take multiple choice tests, I panic. I can rationalize pretty much how every answer is potentially correct. And the CGMA exam was more about your strategy and your ability to make decisions.
I was fortunate enough to actually be grandfathered in with my experience. So that's why I have it. And people, they look at the designation and they do respect it. So I can't say anything bad about it. And so anyway, let's get back to the area that you are, let's say, an expert in. All right. You have written blogs, and it has to do with, are you overlooking emotional intelligence in your career? All right. Now, does this have anything to do with artificial intelligence? Is that what you're talking about when you talk about emotional intelligence?
So it does have some tie-in. So in my position, I'm a senior manager on the firm services, also known as private company practice section team. And I worked a lot with our cybersecurity and IT tools. And I kept reading how all of our jobs are at risk because of automation, artificial intelligence, all these different avenues where our jobs are being done by machines. And I was thinking about it one day, and all I could find were all these negative aspects. You're going to lose your job, or these types of jobs won't be available. Right. So much of the workforce will be without a job. And I was like, well, how does someone protect themselves against that and keep themselves valuable in the future? And so when I started looking up skills to know in the future, I kept getting a lot about emotional intelligence. Machines, including AI, can actually do a lot. They can read your emotions. In fact, I just read an article that was published on April 3rd that talks about IBM having this HR tool that can predict with 95% accuracy which of their workers are about to quit. And it just goes to show that no job is safe from this automation and artificial intelligence. But despite what machines are able to do, whether they can tell you if someone is going to potentially quit their job, or even if they're able to read your emotions, they're lacking that human connectivity, which I think is important because, again, as more of the mundane tasks are being done by machines, we will have tighter teams that will have to work closer together because there aren't going to be mass teams filling in all these different roles from like data entry and whatnot.
So you feel that, all right, we all, you know, with the artificial intelligence, obviously the concern is that a lot of the tasks, all right, such as maybe, bookkeeping work might be done by robots or machines. But are the companies who are replacing jobs with artificial intelligence, are they looking at the emotional intelligence? In other words, are they looking at how it's going to affect people emotionally in their career, where they might even just say, hey, I'm not even going back into that accounting area. Hey, they took away my job doing bookkeeping and maybe even some tax return work, all right? Is that going to affect people where they're sort of going to get turned off with being in the accounting profession? Have you looked into that at all?
Sure. So this is just my personal opinion, not the position of the AICPA or the association. But I've looked into a variety of, shall we say, topics around this area. And there are some people that are afraid of losing their jobs. There are some people that are just trying to ride it out till retirement. Which I think goes for any profession that's looking down the barrel at mass changes, especially in the way that the job is done, right? As far as emotional intelligence goes and its connection to this, I think the most important thing to remember is that the landscape is going to change. So we might have this weird period where there's some overlap as companies move to AI, and then eventually it'll just become the norm. But as far as the people that are in their careers, whether they're younger or not planning on retiring anytime soon, emotional intelligence is a way to differentiate themselves. Because no matter what a machine can do for your job, again, it doesn't make you a team player.
Right, right. So people really have to, today with each, I mean, artificial intelligence, it's here to stay. And instead of fighting it, I guess you got to look at the areas that you can still do and not have to worry about artificial intelligence replacing you. Isn't that correct? I mean, that's really, you have to be aware of what jobs out there where artificial intelligence may not replace it. And what you'll do is you'll sort of complement the change to artificial intelligence. Because however you slice it, we still need human beings, all right, to work and, you know, whether it's program the computers or whatever, all right? So I think people, you know, you can't just go in fear and say, hey, I don't like that artificial intelligence, and I'm just going to show them, and I'm going to go into another career. I think no matter what career you're going to go into at some point, all right, that career is going to be replaced by artificial intelligence, like the car industry today, right?
Yeah.
All right. Isn't the car manufacturing of cars? A lot of it now is done by robots, right?
Right. And I feel like that change has been taking place slowly. You look back at pictures from when the first Model T was created by Ford, and that process has slowly been more and more automated since then. Obviously, technology snowballs as it improves. So now we're just in a position where there's a lot that can potentially be automated. And this whole premise reminds me of the book Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson, right? The changes have been coming slowly, and people can either pretend that they're not coming and then get stuck in a position like the one little person in the book, where they end up in this position where there's nothing left for them. There's no cheese. Capital cheese is how Spencer talks about it in the book. And the cheese represents success, whether it's your career, family, or whatnot, whatever signifies personal success for you. So I think it's just a matter now of being open to the fact that this change is coming, and you can keep going to the same spot to try and find your cheese, or you can move ahead and try to find something else.
What made you go into this area of overlooking emotional intelligence? I mean, how did you see that there might be a need for a person like you to get involved in this type of emotional intelligence? I mean, how did you come up with this? I guess that's what I'm asking.
I think there's a number of factors that went into this. First of all, my younger brother is autistic, so I've always had an interest in emotional intelligence to some extent, even though I didn't necessarily know how to put the words to it when I was younger. But growing up with him, you see how people react to him. And sometimes it's understanding, and sometimes it's something quite far away from understanding. So I always had this sensitivity to other people growing up, primarily in my formative years, you know, when we're all going through our awkward teenage or preteen phases. It was embarrassing to be out with him because I didn't know how he was going to act up, and I didn't know how people would respond. So fast forward, that took me into college, where I minored in psychology because I just enjoyed learning more about people and interacting with people. And again, when I started doing all this research for our cybersecurity and IT resources, I kept seeing this idea come up that, yes, a lot of your job can be done by machines, but there's still a lot that people need to do. For example, if we have an audit client in a firm, and say most of the audit at some point is automated, it can be done almost instantaneously. But what if your client doesn't know what to do with the information that fits out? You can take that information, and you can go to the client, and you can have a conversation with them. And if you're able to read some of their physical cues, whether it's, you know, something as simple as the way they furrow their eyebrows, they might have concern about what they're seeing, and that provides the accountant an opportunity to address their concerns without them having to put themselves on the line and be vulnerable if they're not someone that's able to do it. So they come to trust you as an accountant because you're able to read between the lines of what they really need to know.
Yeah. Now, how did you find this position? I mean, did they advertise, we're looking for someone who's familiar with emotional intelligence? I mean, did you create the job, or was the job there and they were looking for someone to handle this area? How did you get into this? That's what I'm sort of, right. You went to work for the ICPA, mm-hmm. am I correct? And did you create this need for this problem of emotional intelligence?
I'm not going to give myself that much credit. We do have a fantastic team at the AICPA that's been looking at human intelligence for quite some time. And my role is actually not related to emotional intelligence. My role is related to cybersecurity, IT, and then I'm affectionately known as the ANA nerd on my team.
I'm sorry, you're what?
I'm affectionately.
What was that?
I'm a huge nerd. I literally have a stack of books next to me that I potentially could reference in this conversation. So I'm just a huge ANA nerd, and I like cybersecurity, and I like IT, and I like the potential impact that it could have in the profession if it's harnessed correctly. So what actually happened is I put in an application to speak at our Young CPA conference at Engage, and I had to go through the normal process like anyone. This was not me giving a... me being given AICPA preferential treatment. I put in a session request to talk about emotional intelligence and how it's important in the time of the robot. So that session was selected, and our team that handles and oversees the human intelligence piece at the AICPA saw that, and they actually asked me to do the blog and a Facebook Live to promote this topic. I just said this technically isn't my background. I mean, yes, I studied psychology, but I fell into it based on other areas that I worked for at the AICPA.
Okay. Is your undergraduate degree in psychology, or you have a degree? What? How did you get into which came first, psychology or studying for your accounting?
Yeah, so I wasn't quite sure when I went to college, which I think most 18-year-olds can appreciate that sentiment.
That's absolutely true.
The only declared major I had when I went to college was business administration. Right. And I dabbled in psych classes, and I considered majoring in psych, but then I ended up going with majors in business, accounting, and Spanish, and just minored in psychology because I didn't have enough time to make all of the majors.
Right. So you started off with business administration with a concentration in accounting. Is that what you did?
I didn't even talk about the concentration. All I knew was business initially, and then I took an accounting 101 class, and I was hooked. And then I ended up adding professional accountancy so that I'd get enough credits to sit for my exam after my undergrad.
All right. And what'd you take, like 3 courses in psychology? Is that usually a minor, 3 courses? Here's a loaded question. All right. Which do you like more, being in it? You know, did you like studying accounting more or psychology? What'd you find interested you more?
I think it was a little bit of both. As PC as that answer sounds, they're very different areas that I think tap into different interests. So psychology was interesting because, again, it helped me try to understand some of the people that I encountered while growing up with my brother. And for me, it was personally good to try and find ways to understand myself and how growing up with my brother affected my development. As much as you can try to deny it, obviously that kind of family impact does impact how someone grows up. It goes back to some of the nature versus nurture. Was I always going to be a kind person? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe my brother being autistic led into the nurture aspect. And that's what really influenced my personality. Accounting was great for, again, the nerd in me, getting to use some problem solving and work through those more complicated issues. The other thing I liked about accounting was that although the math on the financial statements are black and white, some of the application, you have rules to follow, but then you'd always get these these weird situations out of left field. And you'd have to analyze, does this fit into this section? Does this fit into this section? And it wasn't that there was gray area. There was just an opportunity to really dig deep into what the facts meant.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many people besides yourself have actually gone into this area? Do you know, of emotional intelligence in your career? Are you sort of like the first one, or, you know, were there, how many people, I mean, I never heard of this area until I looked at your background, but how many people are actually going into this now? Do you see an increase based on the needs of artificial intelligence?
I don't know if I've done enough research to say that I've seen an increase or not. I will say that some of the topics I've seen that I've talked about, you know, tooling and a CPA for the needs of the future, what does that look like? And a lot of it relates to communication skills. And I think arguably emotional intelligence falls under the communication skills to some effect, because emotional intelligence is about not only understanding yourself, but others. So again, if you're with a client, or even if you're with a colleague and you're talking to them, and you can kind of pick up on the fact that something just isn't quite right with their day. They're not their normal selves. They're a little more quiet. Their smile is forced. It gives you an opportunity to open up that communication door. Or if you know the person really well and you know that they just need some time alone, whenever they get into a certain place, that's your opportunity to stand back. But that's also a form of communication, right? You don't have to be talking to be communicating. Giving someone space is also a way of saying, I understand that this is what you need right now, and I'm going to give you that space.
Do any schools give this as a degree, or is it just you're going the same route you went, sort of accounting, psychology? Are there any schools that you're aware of where someone could actually get their CPA, but yet go into this? Is this, you know, emotional intelligence, is it a brand new area to the point that there are really no schools out there, to the best of your knowledge, that are actually teaching this specific area?
I don't think emotional intelligence is new by any means. Just like a regular intelligence, if you will, there isn't a way to measure it. So you can get your EQ, your emotional quotient, which sort of parallels what most of us know as intelligence quotient of IQ, right?
Right.
As far as schooling goes, I haven't seen anything that says specifically majoring or minoring or even studying emotional intelligence. I think it still, from what I understand, falls under the psychology realm. And as far as how it works with CPAs and accountants in the future, I think it'll be incorporated more into their business studies to learn business acumen. I think as the profession evolves, and again, there's more of a need being seen for communication skills, I think things like emotional intelligence will work themselves in, but not necessarily be like a slap in your face. This is emotional intelligence. This is what we're learning about today.
And, you know, are you the only one at the, I guess I would call it the society you're at? Are you the only one who does this? I guess that's what I'm asking.
I'm not, because we do have our human intelligence section that handles a lot of the I don't want to say touchy-feely topics, but a lot of the soft skills development.
Yeah, you gotta
right?
watch that touchy-feely stuff now, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's how people think of emotional and human intelligence, though, is they think of it as the touchy-feely things, and that's not the case at all. Human intelligence, specifically emotional intelligence, can aid in your interactions. It's not about coming into work and saying things like, I'm so self-aware that I had a terrible weekend. It's about reading the situations.
I don't think of, at least the accountants I have met over the years, they're not, if I had a problem, I don't think I would want to go to them to discuss this problem I'm having, because I don't think they can be empathetic. I mean, unless things are changing, you know, most accountants are there for what they do. They do the accounting, they do tax, all right? But if you have a problem, you know, with emotional intelligence, are there people within the firms who are going into this to help the, people? Obviously, there's got to be people that have to help with this emotional problems with the artificial intelligence. And I'm wondering if the firms actually have people within the firms to deal with this, or companies. I mean, there's got to be someone who can actually be empathetic in some way. I don't know how many people. Do you know how many people, when you take a CPA firm, okay, and a lot of this stuff is outsourced now, or artificial intelligence, all right? The employees really feel like, hey, they're useless. I mean, are there people within those firms now who can actually handle this type of problem? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like having a doctor on call. Is there a doctor on call at the firms? What do they do?
I don't think they have a specific role for this type of person. I think it's like any business. If you have a customer relationship to handle, you send in the client relationship managers. It might be a partner. It might be someone that is just known to have really good soft and communicative skills. Some people have it naturally, and I think that gets recognized. I know at one of the firms I worked for, there was a particular individual that there were stories going around about how this guy could take an irate client and spin a situation to make them see the positives. That by the end of the conversation, that might have started with the firm being cussed out, it ended with the client thanking the firm for what they had done instead. So in this case, this person wasn't even necessarily trained in anything psychologically related, not emotional intelligence, not even human intelligence. They were just someone that could be relatable. And again, not to keep bringing it back to my personal life, but I think if it wasn't for my brother, I would not be as relatable as I am now. So that's a huge thing. And I'm really glad that you brought up the ability to empathize, because that was something I saw in emotional intelligence. And just like anything, practice helps. So if you feel like you don't have a lot of emotional intelligence and you're not able to relate very well to people, you can actually practice being empathetic. It's really easy to react quickly with people.
How do you practice being empathetic if you're not normally empathetic?
Well, that's why you have to practice, because you're not normally empathetic. It's really just a conscious effort on your part to step back from a situation. Say you have a client or even a colleague that does something that's terribly offensive to you, and you have an opportunity. You can run with your initial reaction to think this person is potentially just a jerk, or you can step back and you can analyze, you know what, I know this person had a hard weekend, or I know this person had a hard week because of some extenuating circumstance. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in this situation and understand that they're also being reactive to their environment, and it's not necessarily something for me to take personally.
By the way, if I may ask, how is your brother doing?
He's great. Obviously I'm biased, but I love him dearly. He's nonverbal, which I think is the aspect that really helped me with things like emotional intelligence and being able to understand other people, just because he can't communicate. So I always had to, well, my whole family, not just myself, we all had to look for his small cues. So that's how I got forced into practicing, right? Again, would I have been this empathetic if I didn't have him as a brother? Possibly, possibly not.
What does he do? Is he working, or what is he? Does he have something, a vocation? You said he sort of keeps to himself. Does he have a vocation, or may I ask that? Does he work? What does he do if he has problems with communication skills? What else can he do?
So he does live in a group home. That was my parents' choice because they felt like, at the age of between 18 and 22, I guess, most children move away and start their own life. So they made the choice when he was 20 to move him into a group home, not because they didn't want him around home, but they wanted to provide him with the opportunity to spread his wings as much as he could. So he goes to a group, or he lives in a group home, and then the group home also has day programs where they coordinate his work schedule. So he is a professional cleaner, which is great because he is completely obsessive compulsive about cleaning things. You would think that'd be a safe career, but he did get scolded a number of times because he was so OCD. he was smuggling in scissors to cut off strings from towels that he was washing. So he's great at his job, just took it a little too far, just like any of us could.
Well, it sounds like you and your family is, you know, just really super people that, you know, you've helped your brother and, you know, you've done your best to, you know, to treat him as though he's just a, you know, regular everyday person. I mean, people think of autism, it comes in different ways, but I do admire your family. It sounds like you've done a tremendous job of being empathetic. That's the key thing, the empathy, you know, so congratulations on that. That's really very nice. I honestly believe family is important. And families should help each other in times of, you know, need or whatever. So anyway, a few questions, okay? And this will be, all right. In something I read, it says that if you don't feel, all right, emotionally intelligent at its fullest potential, it's possible to flex your intelligent emotion muscles. And here are three ideas to help you get started, all right? All right, now you wrote this, correct? I don't want to. You said, all right, be aware, all right, practice empathy. There's that word empathy again. Acknowledge results of your actions, okay? All right, can you summarize that in a nutshell?
All three sets?
I mean, is that asking too much? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's a good question.
All right.
So again, it comes down to awareness across the board. So again, be aware of your own emotions and how you react. So again, try not to make split-second decisions when someone makes an off-color comment to you. And then that kind of leads into the practice empathy piece, because they might have made what you thought was a rude comment because of something they had going on in their life, and they weren't able to be self-aware and differentiate the situations. And then also to acknowledge the results of your actions. So if you are with someone and say they make a rude comment to you and you let it slide, or the opposite, you end up being rude back, be aware of how that makes them feel. If someone's already going through a hard time and they say something to you that you're not on board with and you react negatively, it just makes the situation snowball into something worse. If someone makes a rude comment to you and you make a nice comment back to them, as nice as you can after someone just possibly insulted you. But you try to make a nice comment back. Try to analyze if they treat you differently from that point forward. Because it's possible that, again, they just had something going on in their life that was just overwhelming for them. And all they needed was someone to provide a little bit of empathy and not react negatively to their negative reaction.
So I guess we could say, in order to give emotional intelligence advice, just be empathetic to people. Listen to people. We don't have it, you know, I think today people are not good listeners. And, you know, when someone's down, discouraged, you know, just listen to them, all right? Let them talk and then try in some way, all right? And by the way, I've learned over the years, all right, you never, like, for example, if someone says, all right, that their arm is hurting them, okay? You don't say, well, I know how you feel, right? Well, if you've never had your arm hurting you, you shouldn't say that. You should just listen and say, I can understand what you're saying, and I really do feel bad for you. But never say, well, I know how you feel. I think the worst thing is, because people used to say it to me, I know exactly how you feel. And I would say, well, how do you know how I feel? You've never gone through this. So,
wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Is that true?
My dad passed away actually 36 hours after I moved to New York City. So I ended up going back home very quickly. And I guess I had never dealt with a loss that was that close to home.
Yes.
And
nice.
Every time someone said, just like you had mentioned, every time someone said, I know exactly how you feel. And I was like, but you don't, because you don't know what my relationship was like with my dad.
Yeah.
If we were really close, I could be going through a lot more emotions than you're giving me credit for. If we're not close, then I'm probably dealing with it in a different way. So I've tried to reframe, again, from my own experiences, how I respond to other people. If one of my friends loses their father, I might say, you know, like, I have an idea that you might be going through this really tough time. I'm not sure what that means for you, but I just want to let you know that I'm here to listen if you need someone to talk to.
And that's exactly it. You know, listen to people. Sometimes people just want you to listen to them, all right, and not lecture them, you know, because basically we're not psychologists, you know. And by the way, I've met some psychologists and I wouldn't go to them anyway. But, all right.
I won't comment on the profession.
I like them tremendously, okay? And, you know, they're really great at what they try to do. So, anyway, but Carrie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, all right? And I apologize anyway if I ask you questions on areas that maybe I please don't take it as though it was an intentional, all right? I was just, they call me the voice of reason. Not really, but anyway, I just was curious about certain things with the CGMA and that type of thing. But anyway, Carrie, I appreciate once again. Have a great time in North Carolina. Your weather's still comfortable there. You haven't had the heat and humidity yet, have you?
Not yet, just the pollen.
Just the pollen, okay, yeah. You know, we're here in Maryland, so I guess I'm lucky. I haven't had that yet. But, hey, you know what? Here's my suggestion to you. If you tell me you have pollen on your car, I'm not going to say, I know how you feel. I'm going to say this. Have your car washed more often, okay?
Well, that was a very, very empathetic comment to make.
Was that empathetic? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Oh, that is Rob's daughter.
We've got our junior producer here with us. She just woke up from her nap.
Oh.
And she's trying to be empathetic, which I appreciate that from her. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much. And once again, Carrie Hipsack is with, and you're with the associate. By the way, have you written anything that's coming out in the near future that people might want to be aware of?
Not yet. Maybe somewhere down the road. But in the meantime, if anyone is at the AICPA Engage conference in June, I do have an emotional intelligence session called Be More Than a Machine, Why Emotional Intelligence Matters. So if anyone's going to be there, I have the distinct privilege of being slotted for the last time on the last day. So if anyone wants to stay in Vegas for the full week, I am more than happy to see some faces in my session.
And where is that going to be in Vegas?
Oh, MGM Grand.
MGM Grand. All right. That is, you ever been there? It's a... You can get lost. They have so many different towers. Yeah, go ahead.
Thankfully, this year, they will not be under construction. So for those who are interested in coming to Engage, the additional detours from all their construction will no longer be there.
All right. You know what? Go over and see Carrie at the MGM Grand in Vegas. And what's those dates, Carrie?
Oh, I didn't realize I was being tested.
Okay. Well, pick a date. No one would know the difference. No, anyway. And once again, what is this convention, just to tell us what it is? This is for what now in June?
June is our Engage conference. It is now PracTech. It's our tax conference. The Young CPA track will be there as well. It is June 9th through the 13th. So I did want to verify that before I misspoke and got everyone in Vegas on the wrong days.
Okay.
But yeah, it's seven tracks in one, where you can mix and match and go to the different sessions that speak to you across the board.
And they can get this information by going to the AICPA website?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, if you don't mind going to Las Vegas in June, where it's a little toasty, but it's a dry heat, as they say. All right. You might want to go there and just say hello to Carrie. I'm sure she'd be happy to just say hello to you and give you empathy. Right, Carrie?
Exactly. Although the last day of the conference, I might be running a little tired.
Oh, come on. Carrie, you'll be
my best to listen. Just bring me a coffee, whoever's out there. Get me caffeinated.
Okay. All right. You have a Starbucks or a specific brand or any brand? You don't care.
Any brand. Any brand.
All right. Carrie, thanks again, and have a good week. And we really appreciate you being on our podcast. And this is Phil Yeager, once again, thanking you for listening to our CPA Review and More podcast. And I will turn you over now to Rob Medford, all right, the best producer you could find in the United States of America. Rob, take it away.
Thanks again for listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear about, we want to hear from you. Send your feedback live to us here at the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. That email will also be in the podcast description for this episode. If you're in the market for a review course or simply want to know more about Yeager CPA Review and what we have to offer, check out our website. Link will be in the description as well. Don't forget to use promo code PODCAST to take advantage of 15% off your purchase of the CPA Review course bundles on the Yeager website. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast to keep hearing more of the great podcasts that CPA Review and More has to offer. Until next time, take care.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.